Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dhamma-dhabha-jakun-jabhi-hari Yashodanandana Jabrajajanaranjana Jamunatira Vanachari Jayakanjavihari Amunatira Vanachari Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jaya Radha Mandava Jaya Kunjabi Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Kishore Kishore ki, Shishi Jagannath Baladeva Sabhadra ki, Shishi Gauranitaya ki. Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanande. Is 7th of October 2016,
Friday,
and we are continuing with the nectar of the chapter of the churning of the milk ocean from the 8th canto Continuing with the shlokas of 35, 36, 37 and 38. Yes. Very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So as we remember from yesterday, from day before, this chapter introduces the readers with the appearance of Sri Lakshmi Devi, Rama Devi, who nicely blessed with her glance all the demigods and pious religious personalities assembled there. And she ignored the demons. Therefore, as we can understand, that the demons in this world, they don't have chance to be blessed or to be favored. So therefore, everything and anything they do in this world is by violence. So this is how they behaved with the nectar of immortality, which Dhanvantari Dev brought and which they stole from him. So today we are continuing with the with the reading where in the last shloka we are reading today, 38, Srila Prabhupada nicely gives us the description and difference of living entities in this world. As we know that this world is made of dualities. So there are even two kinds of living entities of which Srila Prabhupada will nicely describe and elaborate in his purport upon. Text number 35. Tam aloksya sura sarve kalasam chamrita britam lipsanta sarva vastuni kalasam tarasaharan. Upon seeing Dhanvantari carrying the jug of nectar, the demons, desiring the jug and its contents, immediately snatched it away by force. So this is the nature of the demons. Whatever they see, beautiful, exalted, strong, enlivening, they immediately want to have it in order to exploit it. Like demigods, they may have opulences, yes? They may have palaces, vehicles, and facilities, abilities, but they use them in the service of the Lord, in the pious way. The demons, they have no chance obtaining things naturally because of their ignorant nature. So therefore, they do that all by force, violently. So we see that how could they knew what's there in that jar? They couldn't knew, but because they saw when we read yesterday, the amazing personality which was dressed in yellow garments, wore brightly polished earrings made of pearls. Tips of hair were anointed with oil. Chest was very broad, body had all good features. He was stout and strong like lion, and he was decorated with bangles. In his hand he carried a jug jug filled with to the top with the nectar. So, you know, when you see such a personality, effulgent personality, tall, strong, shining personality, of course you want to have anything he has. Yeah? You want to steal him. Steal anything he has got. So therefore, this is the nature of atheistic demons. They obtain everything by violence. And they sneak around and look where there is some cleanliness, piety, strength, intelligence, and they want to obtain it, steal it, have it, exploit it. This is their nature. So what do they know about the nectar? But they saw the amazing personality of Dhanvantari, and they thought, okay, if he looks like, you know, strong and effulgent, whatever he has should be good for us, because we also want to be stout, strong, and, you know, effulgent. Although the demons, by nature, they are miserable. They suffer, and therefore, whomever they meet, they become envious. Oh, we're suffering so bad, and he's happy. No, let's make him miserable as well. This is the nature of demons. Yeah? They're always envious, envious. So when they saw, oh, this is a effulgent personality, okay, let's make him miserable, let's steal from him. They have no brain, no intelligence. You know, this is God, Dhanvantari, plenary portion of the plenary portion of the Lord. They don't mind stealing from him. Come on. Like, you know, if a spiritual master comes to the temple and some bhakta may think, okay, he looks effulgent and so bright, and he's got this stick, let's steal it from him. Shh. Demoniac. Yeah? So this is what they thought. Oh, such a brilliant, such a effulgent personality. Okay, let's steal from him. Let's spoil his mood. Yeah, let's spoil his mood. He's too effulgent, too happy. Maybe because he drinks from that jar. Okay, we want it. Instead of approaching humbly, yeah, instead of offering some prayers, instead of glorifying Dhanvantari, and instead of humbly requesting for the, you know, to share some nectar, they just steal it. You understand, you feel the difference, huh? The pious person always does it honestly, openly and honestly. And the demons are always are crooked. Yeah? So they just snatched away the nectar from the Lord, stealing from the Lord. You know, you come and steal something from Srila Prabhupada or from the altar. You know, it's beyond, it's too much, it's so low. Niyamane surestasmin kalase mrita bhajane vishannamana sudeva harim sharanam ayayu. When the jug of nectar was carried off by the demons, the demigods were morose. Thus they sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. So you see, totally two different approaches. Because, you know, stealing according to the morality of demigods is like beyond. It's like, you know, they even don't consider stealing from God or something. So for them it's like, you know, they're knocked out by, you know, by the behavior of the demons. But they didn't jump on their case chasing the demons. No, they were so disappointed with the activities of the demons, that they approach the Lord by searching for shelter from the lotus feet of Him. Because, you know, it's what can you do when you deal with the low-born and low-behavior personalities? I remember maybe almost, like 20 years ago, we were installing Srila Prabhupada's Murti in the temple, in one of the temples in Russia. And the neighborhood of the temple is like gypsy area. So they are not the most exalted personalities, because their business, main business there, was drug dealing. So, but devotees invited everyone, all the neighbors who wanted to come, invited for the celebration. There was His Holiness Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj present, leading our installation of Prabhupada's Murti there. And there was, hundreds of devotees present. And there was kirtan, and then we performed the Abhishek of Prabhupada's full-size Murti, and some devotee made a very nice Vyasasan, huge wooden Vyasasan, carved nicely with the lions, also with the lions there. So later on, after the celebration, one devotee told that he was approached by one local gypsy leader during the ceremony. Somebody just came to see what's going on. What strange young people are our neighbors. So one gypsy, some of the leaders, he approached a devotee and he said, he was looking at Prabhupada and saying, like from a distance, saying, "You, can you introduce me to him?" This gypsy thought that this is a live person. And he said, "Can you introduce me to him?" And devotee said, it's a statue, it's a murti, we worship him, and like that. I cannot introduce you to him. And he said, okay. And he said, "Who made this huge seating place?" So the devotee said, "This devotee, he did it." So that gypsy, a leader, he went to that devotee and he said, "Can you do that to me also? I want it at home." I want to sit at home in such a, Vyasasan, on such a huge seat, so that all the gypsies would worship me the same as you do with him. So this is the desire of the demons, What a stupid idea. They just came to the devotee's event and they thought, okay, they are introducing good standards. Good standards of relationship. So I have to raise my standards dealing with my gypsy fellows also. I have to have at home such a seat so that all the gypsies, after coming, they would bow down in front of me and worship me. This is their idea. No qualification, but be worshipped as God. So this is their idea. And text number 37. Iti tad dainyam alokya bhagavan britya kamakrit maki dhyatami tortam va sadhaishyesva mayaya. What the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always desires to fulfill the ambitions of His devotees, saw that the demigods were morose, He said to them, "Do not be aggrieved. By my own energy, I shall bewilder the demons by creating a quarrel among them. In this way, I shall fulfill your desire to have the nectar. Just one more thing I remembered. Little by little, the Christmas time is approaching. And one American, he came to Russia and he asked some local person, in Russian language, how you call Santa Claus? So the Russian person said, in Russian language, Santa Claus is Ded Moroz. So the American guy, he was bewildered. He said, how the celebration of Christmas looks like in Russia if your Santa Claus is dead and morose. Dead Moroz, dead morose. So, you know, how he looks there if he's dead and morose. I just read about the demigods being morose. So Santa Claus is also in Russia dead and morose. Okay, so let's read the shloka number 38. Mitha kalir abhutisham. Mitha kalir abhutisham. Tad arthe tarsha chetasam. Tad arthe tarsha chetasam. Aham purvam, aham purvam. Aham purvam, aham purvam. Natvam, natvam iti prabho. Natvam, natvam iti prabho. Mitha kalir abhutisham tad arthi tarsha chetasam. Aham purvam, aham purvam. Natvam, natvam iti prabho. Please. Shachetasam aham purvam, aham purvam. Natvam, natvam iti prabho. Mithakali adhutisham tad arthi tarshachetasam aham purvam, aham purvam. Natvam, natvam iti prabho. Mitha among themselves. Kalihi disagreement and quarrel. Abhut there was. Tesham of all of them. Tat arthe for the sake of nectar. Tarsha Chetasam, bewildered in heart and soul by the illusory energy of Vishnu. Aham, I. Purvam, first. Aham, I. Purvam, first. Na, not. Tvam, you. Na, not. Tvam, you. Iti, thus. Prabho, O King. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. O King, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, "You cannot drink it first. I must drink it first. Me first, not you." Yes. This is the polite way they deal amongst themselves. Yes. Natvam, natvam, not you, not you. Aham purvam, me first. Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport saying that this is the symptom of demons. The first concern of a non-devotee is how to enjoy his personal sense gratification at once, whereas the devotee's first concern is to satisfy the Lord. So this is the distinction between the non-devotee and the devotee. In this material world, since most people are non-devotees, they regularly compete, fight, disagree, and war amongst themselves, for everyone wants to enjoy and satisfy his own senses. So therefore, unless such demons become Krishna conscious and are trained to satisfy the senses of the Lord, there can be no question of peace in human society or any society, even that of the demigods. So the demigods and devotees, however, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. While the demons fight to satisfy their own senses, devotees engage in devotional service to satisfy the senses of the Lord. So the members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be alert in regard to this point, and then their preaching of Krishna consciousness movement will be successful. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasvai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Stapitamena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakal Tarvyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavach Patitanam Pavani Vyashna Vyavya Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhutyananda Sri Advaita Vedadra Shvasin Gaurav Vendari Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Mitha kalir abhutisham, tadarti tarshachetasam, aham purvam, natvam, natvam, iti prabhu. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada actually gives us a lesson of what is cooperation all about. The person is able to cooperate only the one who already conquered his false ego. Otherwise, he will always be keen to fight, putting forward his own demands. Me first, aham purvam, yes. My own concern, my own interest first. And therefore Srila Prabhupada warns the devotee saying that everyone must be alert in regard to this point. If there is some quarrel amongst the devotees, that means you want to enjoy. You want some fame, name, glory. And this is what destroys the mood of the devotional service. So it said that instead of being egocentric, a devotee is God-centric, putting forward always caring first for the well-being, for the interest, and for the pleasure of the Lord. So this is, as Srila Prabhupada nicely describes here in the purport, saying that unless one is nicely trained to be a devotee, unless one is nicely trained to satisfy the senses of the Lord, unless that has been done, it's no way, no possibility for peace and prosperity, because there will be always competition, there will be always egocentric needs instead of pleasing the Lord, pleasing Guru. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, dvau bhuta sargau lokesmin deva asura evacha devo vistara sha prakta asuram parta meshrinu. In this world there are two kinds of created beings, Krishna says to Arjuna. One is called the divine and other demoniac. I have already explained you at length the divine qualities, and now Arjuna, hear about the demoniac. So those who are demoniac do not know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. Why? Because in Bhagavatam we find that in Kali Yuga, if a person is dressed with so-called clean dress, he poses himself to be clean. But nobody cares about the character and about the morality of the person, because actually the standard is that the cleanliness should be followed externally and internally. And even the dress, if you are dressed with some synthetic artificial material dress, you cannot be considered clean even externally. If you take shower, it doesn't make you a person with a good character and behavior. And when Sri Uddhava once asked Lord Krishna, who is the most rich person in this world, Krishna replied, the one who has the best qualities of character, he's the richest. Not the one who possesses money, gold, diamonds, land. Not the one is the richest. But the one who possesses all the best qualities of character, which are nicely explained here in the very first three shlokas of 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Divine qualities. And Krishna says, Arjun, don't worry, you are endowed with those divine qualities. But the demons, they're always motivated by the philosophy which is called Aham Purvam Natvam Natvam. Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam, Natvam Natvam. Me first, not you, not you. This is their complicated philosophy. Stupid and simple, as primitive as that. Krishna says, those demons, they say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control, and they say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Man, what a primitive philosophy. It's totally based on the sensual perception. And still, whatever they see, they claim it not to be real. And the cause of this material world is lust. You know, it's totally based on the sensual perception and the activities of the senses. It's too primitive to accept that and live by that philosophy. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmanolpa buddhaya prabhavantyugra karmana ugra karma kshayaya jagatohita. Following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. How can you live by such a primitive conception of life? Of course, then whatever you do, you are like in French there is one saying, la femme fatale, some type of lady who, wherever she appears, everything just fails. So the demoniac person, wherever he comes, there is a quarrel right away, the war, the destruction, the disagreement, the quarrel. Yes, so this is fatal. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work attracted by impermanent. As Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains, the three type of happiness, and the happiness in the mode of passion is when the senses contact with the sensual objects. But it's so impermanent, and it's not fulfilling, it's not pleasing, because the senses are the matter. The objects of the material enjoyment are the matter. So two matters come together, and the stupid conditioned soul thinks there should be some pleasure in that. Like, you know, one matter is a cup, another matter is a table. You put the cup on the table and you expect to feel happiness. You know, it's just two matters, you know, relate to each other. But you as a soul, how can you be happy with two matters dealing amongst themselves? So the senses are material. Objects are material, and getting in contact with each other, the illusioned conditioned soul considers that to be happiness. There is one Vedic mantra explaining the situation. It's called ha ha ha. Yes, it's stupid. How can you expect two matters, you know, touching each other, and the living entity thinks, oh, how much pleasure is that? Where is the pleasure? So this is what is called happiness in passion. And the happiness in ignorance from the beginning to the end is miserable. You don't know what gives you the pleasure. You're just miserable and suffer from the beginning till the end. And the happiness in goodness is that which at the beginning looks like poison, but ultimately is tastes like nectar, is the happiness and goodness. So that means austerity. You perform the yajna, you perform austerity, and then you feel, and then you experience happiness. Yes? Like Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, nayam lokostya yagyasya kutonya kuru sattama, that without performance of yagya, sacrifice, there is no way of being happy. No way. So therefore, first pay, then enjoy. And the demons, they don't want to pay, and we see that they snatched the jar from Lord Dhanvantari. They even don't bother to ask him, to approach him. They just, you know, they want to enjoy by any means, by any unqualified means. So because they follow such a primitive and gross so-called philosophy that this world is unreal, has no foundation, there is no God, you know, even the concept of demons, that there is no God. So if there is no God, what you are talking about? I'm talking about the God who is not. So if he is not, so how can you talk about somebody? If there is some, if there is no person or no concept, there would be no name as God. But if there is a name, God, that means it's all about somebody. And it's just a problem that you don't believe in him, because he's, you know, he's too subtle, too exalted, and you just ignore him. But by ignoring somebody, you cannot claim his non-existence. You cannot claim. Who from you saw a country's president in person? Nobody. So you just claim there is no country's president. I didn't saw him. But it's stupid. So therefore, the demons, they just follow primitive and stupid concept of life, which they concocted themselves, and they expect to be happy. And they promote that nonsense all over. It's disastrous. Therefore, Krishna says that all their activities are meant to destroy the world, because they don't want to be accountable to nobody. First of all, to God. Okay. That much for today. Maybe you have something to add, to elaborate, or some questions.
I was thinking of what Srila Prabhupada said. He said in previous ages, Krishna would come to kill the demons. But in Kali Yuga, people are so cooperative, they're killing themselves. I like that. We have that, sometimes there's a little misunderstanding. He commands respect or he demands respect. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes, very good point. Very good point, which also gives two opposite concepts. The demons, they demand respect. Why? Because they are unqualified by any means. They are unqualified internally, externally. So therefore, like we see, they demand. I didn't approach Lord Dhanvantari for the nectar, they just snatched it. So the demigods, they command respect. What it means? By their qualification. So devotees, they command respect by their qualification. But they do the job. They do the job following the sadhana, what it means. Inner discipline. And inner discipline purifies. Why? Because it's from the category of austerity. We don't act and we don't do things we would like to. We do things which we inherited from our acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and which is recommended in the Shastra by the Lord. Because Shastra is like a manual. It's a manual for the civilized society. Why? Because it helps to overcome the sensual level and speculative level, the level of senses and the level of material intelligence. Telling what is yama, what is niyama. So to demand respect is like an avoidable thing. And command respect, it comes naturally. So, like the Lord, he doesn't demand respect. By his qualification, he commands respect from the devotees. So same thing, a devotee. He sacrifices his sensual whims. And instead, he eats prasad. Like yesterday, one lady came here, a relative of a devotee. A devotee asked her aunt to come to the temple and meet and talk. And I told her what type of food we eat, because Bhaktamich brought some Mahaprasad, and I explained to her that, you know, this is Mahaprasad, this is Prasad, this is cooked for the pleasure of the Lord, not for our own pleasure, and like that. So the lady was very impressed because she never heard of such a concept of eating. You know, you cook not for your own pleasure, you go to the restaurant not for your own pleasure, but you cook for the pleasure of the Lord, you offer him, and then you are happy with the remnants. So it's just, you know, it's a deep inner culture which follows the civilized, spiritually inclined living entity, devotee. So then he don't need to demand for respect. By his activities and by his qualification, he commands respect. And it's pleasing the Lord. Such activities, such way of life, pleases the Lord. Why? Because he says, you follow it and you will be happy.
The regulative principles of freedom. Prabhupada also says, what you said, the same thing. He said, modern society is going on due to a brute mentality. Brute mentality. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Grantaraj, you have? Okay, please, please. It's okay. It's okay. We will love to hear.
Maharaj, I just want to ask the question in the one purport. Srila Prabhupada was saying that the demons needed to get trained in Krishna consciousness. taking into account that you read that one verse from Bhagavad Gita that clarifies what's the belief system of the demons, then I guess the question just is how malleable is a person with a demoniac belief system that indeed they may be able to be trained in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, very good question. And this is the glory of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, that he has courage and he dares to suggest, let's train those demons into devotees. Wow. It's like, you know, sounds like unachievable task, but we see that Srila Prabhupada himself, he did that. So many different personalities with a, you know, demoniac background ultimately became devotees. And it's interesting enough to remember that once Parvati approached Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva told her that in Kali Yuga there will be so many demons joining the spiritual movements. So we see that, you know, quite some disturbance in those spiritual organizations people have to experience. Because some bewildered demoniac mentality conditioned souls ultimately, gradually, by the process of sadhana bhakti, devotional service, they reform themselves into devotees. But some, they pursue their own goals, which is control and enjoy. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada ends up the purport saying that you have to be very careful about that. Because devotees means cooperation. Demons means quarrel and competition. So we have to avoid quarrel and competition. It's demoniac. So therefore, as we remember Srila Prabhupada before leaving his body, he said, your love will be tested how nicely you will be able to cooperate amongst them, amongst yourselves. So cooperation mood is very important. That means such a devotee conquered his false ego. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna.